Our Bibles together this evening, if we could, and turn to the book of Ephesians and the Ephesians chapter 5, and we'll begin reading together in verse number 15. We're looking at connecting our itineraries as a couple, and the world is busy, and it's constantly trying to put a wedge in between spouses, and so we're learning from the Bible how we can redeem our time. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Let's pray together if we could. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for all the wonderful blessings that you have given to us. We're grateful for the wonderful pattern that you've given to us in marriage and how we can learn as your children to have a godly marriage that pleases you. And so, Lord, I pray that you would help us to take these biblical principles, apply them to our marriages. Lord, that we can strive to please you in all that we say and do. Lord, I pray that you would hide and bind Satan and his demons. I pray your word would fall on good ground, that it would spring up and grow in our hearts and in our lives. And may you be glorified. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. There's an old story that is told from about a century ago of two steamboats. They left Memphis about the same time, traveling down the Mississippi River to New Orleans. As they traveled side by side, sailors from one vessel made a few remarks about the snail's pace of the other. Challenges were made, and the race began. Competition became vicious as the two boats roared through the deep south. One boat began falling behind because it did not have enough fuel. They had plenty of coal for the trip, but not enough coal for a race. As the boat dropped behind, a young sailor took some of the ship's cargo and tossed it into the ovens. As the other sailor saw that the supplies burned as well as the coal, they fueled their boat with the material that they had been assigned to transport. They ended up winning the race, but they burned their cargo. Sometimes we treat our relationships, especially our closest relationships, like that cargo. We care enough about it to take it aboard our lives, but then when it hinders our pace, we devalue it, or even use it in order to keep up with the more demanding aspects of our life. The reality is, folks, tonight, our culture, our busy culture, wars against real relational connection. With so many demands that we have in our life today, demands for our time, demands for our energy, demands for our schedules, it's a challenge to give relationships the priority that they deserve. This is even more true when we talk about our marriage relationships. You know, to most married couples, they are just two ships passing in the night. You know, when you're dating, it's normally easy to bring your relationship to the forefront of your life. I mean, it's new, it's exciting, and it's consuming, but when we get married, now, it's not that, you know, our marriage relationship feels less important, but it's just that life has a way of just shifting our focus. I mean, children come on the scene, responsibilities change, urgent matters press upon our life, and somewhere down the line, it just seems like busyness takes over. And one day you realize that not only have you lost the points of connection that you used to enjoy, but you also lost the oneness and the emotional intimacy of your relationship. And what happens is that more stress begins to be placed upon your life, and there's a real emotional drift that takes place. I mean, as married couples, if we are not purposely and on a regular basis connecting with one another, then the natural events that will take place is that we will just drift apart. We will drift apart emotionally. I mean, think again at dating again. When a couple is dating, usually they hate being apart. And you know, when a couple is dating, they are emotionally preparing to share that apart times when the other, you know, when they're reconnected once again. And as a married couple, if we're not having those times that we on a regular basis connect and share with one another, over time we stop thinking of one another when we're apart. And rather than going through your day with your spouse on your mind, you disconnect emotionally. And this, of course, brings more stress and neglect and resentment. Now, I'm glad tonight that the Bible has the answers. And the Bible teaches us how we can realign our priorities as Christians, but also in a marriage relationship. Now, in this passage of Scripture in the book of Ephesians, as we looked at it in our lesson 3, when we talked about marriage and the foundations of marriage, the Bible also teaches us and gives to us some wonderful principles for living a purposed and a directed life. And we find it right away in this passage of Scripture as it directs us to have correct priorities in our life each and every day. So if you're taking notes with me tonight, would you write down number 1, clarify your priorities. Clarify your priorities. Sometimes we get so caught up in busyness that we forget the purpose of why we are doing what we do. Someone said this, beware the barrenness of a busy life. Beware the barrenness of a busy life. Now in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 15, the Bible instructs us to walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. The word circumspect comes from the same word which we get circumference. And the Bible is teaching us that we cannot get caught up and focused on just one direction, that we lose focus of the big picture. We lose the big picture of God's calling and God's direction and guidance in our life. Now remember when God gave the operational definition of marriage at Genesis chapter 2 verse 24, He did not say, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall sometimes see his wife in passing. He did not say, or shall live under the same roof with his wife, despite having varied schedules and nothing in common. That's not what he said. He said that a man should cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. The word cleave means to adhere. It means to abide. The word means to follow closely, to overtake, to pursue hard, or to stick. Now, when we talk about cleaving to our spouse, this takes intention. This takes effort. This takes work. If you want to stay relationally and emotionally connected in the midst of a very busy world around us today, then you're going to have to fight for it. You're going to have to fight for it. Now, usually when it comes to our schedules, we just want a life hack, right? We just want something that we can implement, a trick that will work everything out. But, you know, this is not how it works. We're going to have to make decisions. We're going to have to choose what is important and what is less important in our life. If you're traveling alone, you can make all of the decisions. If you're traveling alone, you can organize your own itinerary and you can do whatever you want. You can go wherever you want. But if you're traveling with a group, it helps to clarify your trip and your priorities and your destinations and your itinerary. It's important that everyone is on board of what's happening. And the same is true in marriage. And so what are biblical priorities for our life? Well, it's rather simple. The first is your relationship with God. And second is your relationship with your spouse. And every other priority must fall under these two. So let's start, if we could, with our relationship with the Lord. The Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 5, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might." The primary priority of every Christian is your relationship with God. Your primary priority as a Christian is your relationship with God. Now remember that before God gave Adam a wife and the gift of marriage, God first established a relationship between himself and Adam. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 15, "And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat." Verse 17 says, "But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." And the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him." Our first priority is our vertical relationship with the Lord. That has to be our first priority. Priority in our life. And if our relationship with God is not strong, then all other relationships in our life will decay. All other relationships in our life are going to suffer. Listen, life is filled with ups and life is filled with downs. But we must keep our personal walk with God our top priority. This is the most important. You know, if as Christian couples, we have the wonderful privilege and responsibility to encourage each other in these things, to encourage each other in our walk with God, to encourage each other to keep taking steps forward in this important priority. You know, I think one of the greatest examples of this in our Bible is the example of Mary and Martha. That would be the sisters of Lazarus. And the Bible says that they hosted the Lord Jesus in their home, and Martha was preoccupied with the responsibilities of entertaining. And if you've ever had anyone in your home, you know that entertaining takes a lot of work. I mean, it takes a lot out of you, and you love to see him come, but you love to see him go. And you know, she was laboring, the Bible says. She was toiling in these things. And Mary sat at the feet of the Lord Jesus. And as she's sitting at the feet of the Lord Jesus, she is being taught by the master, and Martha is upset about this, and she chided with the Lord and said, you know, Lord, why don't you get Mary to help me out in these things? And the Bible says in Luke chapter 10, verse 41, "And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things." Are you careful and troubled? Are you anxious, worrisome? Are you burdened by many things in your life? But the Bible says in verse 42, "But one thing is needful." One thing is needful. There are many things that are important in our life, but there is one thing that is needful, and that is our relationship with God. It is our first priority. You know, even in Ephesians chapter 5, before dealing with the husband and wife relationship, it begins with an instruction to follow God wholeheartedly. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 1, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children." You see, to follow the Lord is to make that relationship a priority in your life. And you might be thinking, Pastor Burns, what in the world has this to do with marriage? It has everything to do with marriage. Becoming a better follower of Jesus is also going to help you to become a better husband and a better wife. To be a better follower of Jesus is going to help you to be a better parent. To be a better follower of Jesus will help someone to be a better pastor, a better boss, a better employee, a better friend. A real and passionate walk with the Lord Jesus is going to impact all of your relationships. I always say this, a right relationship with God is going to right all relationships. And this is your priority in your life. You probably heard of George Mueller. George Mueller was a wonderful Christian and a prayer warrior in his service to the Lord. George Mueller read the Bible through over 100 times. He also wrote over 30,000 letters per year for 40 years. He had 9 assistants working in a dozen languages. He pastored 1,200 believers. He had the oversight of 5 large orphanages and a huge publishing house that printed and distributed millions of books and tracts and Bibles. And yet he said this. He said, "I never think of going to my work without first having a good season of time with God and my Bible." This is our first priority as a Christian, is keeping our relationship with God strong. That's our first priority. But secondly, I want us to notice our relationship with our spouse. After your relationship with the Lord, the next priority is your relationship with your spouse. And this is even over your children, this is over your job, and this is even over your ministry. Although most people acknowledge that this is true on paper, and they would recognize that this is true, that our spouse must be a priority in our life, the reality is most couples struggle to make this priority a reality in the demands that we face in life each and every day. Now, along the way, husbands have the tendency to let their vocation supersede the priority of their marriage. We read about in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 31, that God placed a priority on marriage. In Ephesians 5, 31, the Bible says, "For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh." This takes time and this takes energy for this to take place. Again, this is the cleaving process. Now, if husbands have the tendency to put priority on their vocation, then the wives would have the similar tendency to put their priority on their children. Now, don't get me wrong. Our children and our grandchildren are the greatest treasures on earth. Grandchildren are said to be God's gift to you for not killing your own children. And, you know, they are God's blessing in our life. And we will make many sacrifices necessary for our children, and we'll make sacrifices for our grandchildren. But listen, friends, don't let these sacrifices affect our marriage in a negative way. You see, our marriage is a priority, the second priority that God places in our life. And the reality is, one of the greatest gifts that you can give your children is to love your spouse, and the security that comes in a child's life is more valuable when a husband and wife have that close relationship. And so the Bible teaches us that our spouse is our next priority in our life. Number 2, if you're taking notes with me, would you write this? redeem the time. Redeem the time. Not only does Ephesians 5 instruct us to walk circumspectly, to see the big picture in our life, but it also instructs us, commands us, to redeem the time. It stresses that we need wisdom in how we spend our time. Colossians chapter 4 repeats this instruction. In Colossians 4 verse 5 it says, "Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time." To redeem means to buy back, to use wisely. Using your time wisely and redeeming time toward what matters most requires intentional efforts. It requires decisions to be made, choosing what to spend our time on. The Christian life is not about choosing between what is right and what is wrong. As Christians, we should understand that. It's about choosing between what is good and what is best. And this is the same with our time. What is best for my time? And as we think of a marriage, marriage relationship, let me just give you some practical thoughts tonight that I think will help us. First of all, schedule time together. Schedule time together. You know, one of the best representations of your real priority is your schedule. And what your schedule shows is what's important to you. You know, if we don't put it on a schedule, then it may happen. It sometimes may happen. But if we schedule it, normally it gets done. I think we could apply this to a good financial steward. A good financial manager will make a budget and understands that first they need to pay the important bills, the mortgage and the utilities, before they allot money to be used for, let's say, eating out or, you know, maybe buying a new saw or something. I don't know. At the end of the day, they pay the important bills, the pressing bills first. And the Bible teaches us that we are to number our days. In Psalm 90, verse 12, "So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." We have to spend our time wisely because, listen, we don't have a lot of time on this earth. And God teaches us this principle again and again and again. Use your time wisely. Use your time wisely. You cannot build a strong marriage without investments of time. You cannot build a strong marriage without investments of time. Let me give you some practical ways that we can invest time in our marriages. First of all, on a daily basis, make it a priority during meal times to sit down with one another and to set the phones aside, to turn off the television, and talk. And talk. That's an old word. It means to have communication with one another. You know, to talk. If you have children, then this meal, family meal time, won't be on your undivided attention, but it's still beneficial. It's still vital. Early evenings, just before bed, is another extra time where you can connect and give each other a minimum of 15 minutes and you know, ask questions and listen and have conversation about one another's day. Have a time to pray together. But take time to invest in your marriage. Not only daily, but also weekly. I think it's good to have a weekly date night. And you know, it can be at home. You can spend the time, maybe you can get away from the kids. I don't know. Find a spot where they don't know where you are. You know, just get away and talk about your day. And I think it's important, again, disconnect from the television, disconnect from your phones and maybe independent projects, and just give each other your undivided attention. Listen, it doesn't have to be expensive. It doesn't have to be expensive, but it has to be on a regular basis. And you need to invest that time in your relationship. And maybe you can get away. Maybe you can go to a restaurant, find a babysitter or whatever the case, and get some time to go to a restaurant. And again, it doesn't have to be expensive, But it's that time you're investing in your relationship. And of course, seasonally, plan times that you would focus on your relationship, anniversary, special times to, again, just invest that time, that celebration in your marriage is so important. But not only spending time, we also have to listen to each other. We have to listen to each other. You know, perfect balance of time is a myth. Perfect balance of time just doesn't happen. Despite our best intentions, you will get out of balance in one or another area on a regular basis. And that's because balance isn't static. Life is changing all of the time. I mean, think for a moment of a tightrope walker. I mean, they are constantly adjusting to keep the center of gravity on a rope. Think about when you're driving a car. You are constantly making adjustments as you're driving. And that's the same with our life. We are constantly making adjustments along the way. And this means tonight that we're going to obey the command in the Bible to walk in the Spirit. We're going to be sensitive to the Spirit's direction as He convicts us. And maybe the Holy Spirit will say, you know what, you need to have an extra date night this week, or you need to spend time with your wife. Your wife is hurting, or your wife is going through troubles. We have to be sensitive to the working of the Spirit in our life as He directs and guides and helps us in our marriages. Remember that the goal is to redeem the time. Because once it's gone, it's gone. I think all of us in life will have regrets, but we want the least amount of regrets as possible. And we want to redeem the time that God has given to us to understand what the will of the Lord is. You say, Pastor Burns, what is God's will for my life as a married couple? To spend time with your spouse, to invest in your marriage, to love and to respect each other. Number three, practice the exchanged life. Practice the exchanged life. Now, tonight as you listen to this message, if you're thinking, wow, how in the world am I going to do all of that? Well, I'm excited to tell you that if you're going to live a God-honoring marriage, you're not going to do it in your own strength. You're not going to accomplish it in your own power. This is why God instructs us in Ephesians 5:18 to be filled with the Spirit. To be filled with the Spirit is to be influenced by the Holy Spirit in our life. Now, the negative illustration in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 is that of someone being influenced or drunk by alcohol. Rather, the Bible says, than be influenced by alcohol or by a substance, the Scriptures teach us that you and I should be influenced by the Holy Spirit in our responses and in our actions each and every day. The Bible calls this the exchange principle. The exchange principle. In Colossians 3, God tells us to put off the old man and to put on the new man. This is the exchange. Colossians 3, verse 9 says, lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, with the renewed, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. And Ephesians chapter 4 also gives us the same principle. It says in Ephesians 4:22 that ye put off concerning the former conversation or the life that's lived of the old man, that you put off the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. To have healthy relationships with each other, we must practice the exchanged life in which we put off the old habits of our flesh, and we are renewed in our minds by God's word to serve one another. This is the exchange life. We must exchange self-will for a surrendered will to God. The Bible says in 1 Peter 4:2 that ye no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh of the lust of men, but to the will of God. We must exchange fleshly desires for spiritual desires. Colossians 3, verses 1, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, which Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. We must exchange human effort for spiritual power. 2 Peter 1:3. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. You see, these exchanges only happen as we personally seek the Lord and spend time with him. And that is why our first priority is God, and our second priority is our spouse. The Bible teaches us in Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, that we are to allow the word of Christ to dwell in us richly. To allow the word of God to dwell in us richly. As God's word fills our minds, we are able then to have spiritual relationships described in the second verse. The Bible says, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. You see, when God's word dwells in us, God's word changes us. And it's always for the better. It brings us back full circle to where we even started, and helping us to clarify our priorities to put God first in our life. All of this takes time, and all of this takes effort. If you're going to be a mature Christian, you don't trip over it coming to church on Sunday. You're going to have to make spiritual decisions. You're going to have to say no to some things and yes to other things. And it's intentional. It's having discipline and being a disciple. And the same is true in our marriages. It's intentional. We must allow God to have his way in our life. And I want to encourage you tonight, because too many couples let the busyness of life steal their understanding of God's will for them. Don't let that be us. Understand what the will of the Lord is, and that is for us to have a strong relationship with God so that we can have strong relationships in our life. You know, at the end of the day, I think we all believe in preventative maintenance when it comes to our cars. We may not do it, but we know it's important. And we know that it's going to have, you know, consequences if we ignore it. You know, if we don't give our car oil changes when we're supposed to, it could blow the engine in our car. You know, if we don't change the tires or rotate the tires and keep them balanced, it's going to affect our vehicle in a negative way. And the same is true when it comes to marriage. We have to sync up our itineraries to avoid marital blow-up. We can't allow, you know, a giant conflict to happen in our life and then deal with the issue. We need to have preventative maintenance. And that's going to happen by spending time with God and spending time with each other. You know, I'll be honest with you. When my wife and I were first married, I was still in school. She had graduated from college. I was still in Greek class, and so I had to stay and take one semester of Greek. And I was working all night. I was in class all morning. And when I came home, she would be leaving to work. And so for 1 year of our marriage, we were just passing ships in the night. We would wave when I was coming home and she was leaving. And our relationship, it suffered because of it. I always tell my wife, you know, when it comes to our anniversary, we're 1 year short because the first year was a mess. And then we actually, when things changed, we actually grew together as a couple. But so many couples live their life like that every day. Where they have no time, they don't spend time with each other, and they don't know their spouse. I mean, don't let yourself get 20 or 25 years down the road, you know, with a successful career and retirement behind you, and maybe kids are off to college, and all the things that you've poured your life into all gone, and then realize that your spouse is a stranger. Don't let that happen to you. Ask yourself now, what extra things in my schedule can I remove so that I can pour my life into my spouse and have a strong marriage, to improve our time together, to improve my walk with God? All of these things are important. Invest the time now in seeking your itineraries so that you, your spouse, can enjoy a life together and truly move forward in the will of God, because that pleases Him. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your word, and we're grateful for the practical teaching that we have from your word. I pray, Lord, that you would help us as we desire, Lord, to serve you, that you would help us in our marriages, Lord, to put you first, to give time and intention to our spouses. And Lord, I pray that you would give us wisdom as we live in this busy world. I pray you would give us guidance and direction, and may you be glorified. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take our hymn books together, and we're going to turn to number 397. 397. Would you turn there for our benediction tonight? 397. If you're able, let's stand. I've decided to follow Jesus. I'll lead you in it. I've decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back on that first. I have decided to follow Jesus. Decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though no one join me, though no one join me, still I will follow. Though no one join me, still I will follow. Though no one join me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. The world behind me, the world behind me, the cross before me, the world behind me, the cross before me, the world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back, turning back. Amen. God bless you. Hope to see you on Wednesday at 7 o'clock as we continue our study in God's work in our world. You are dismissed.
Yep. The oldest daughter, Alana, got married to a man.
Yep.
So lost a little girl, Is that the reason to get separated, divorced?
No, God never promotes divorce. I mean, when someone loses a child, it's heartbreaking, right? And obviously they didn't deal with it the correct way, but there were other issues that were happening there as well. It was a bad situation.
I know everything about losing a child. Now, we didn't lose anything.
Yeah.
But I'm the oldest one, the oldest sister, and another one was born, another girl, in 1941. And in 1943, she fell in the river and drowned. So my parents lost a little girl.
Yeah.
Then another one was born, so I was born again. And another one fell overboard and drowned.
Yeah.
So my parents said, or my mother said, there's a sad face, I still see it happen. That I had four children, well, two left over.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, it's
So I thought that.